Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Shalom. We're now on Masachet Kretot Daf Hey Amud Aleph in the middle of the Amud. Looking at our next item on the list of Kretot in the Mishnah, Fatemet HaShemen, Tanu Rabbanan. Fatemet HaShemen will modbo ol mosovet zibur. If you prepare the Shemen HaMishcha in order to either study how to do it or to hand it over to the Tzibur, patur. But lasuch, if you do it in order to anoint it, we'll see on whom, chayav. V'hasach menu patur. Because if you use it for, you make it for anointment, then you're chayav. And if somebody else uses yours, then they are patur. It's only the original set Shemen HaMishcha that one is chayav for anointing with. Let's take a look. How do we know that? Both in the prohibition of making the Torah, the prohibition of making the Shemen HaMishcha, we use the matkunto or matkunta. Matkonet means the recipe. So we got the Torah. What does it say in the Torah? Lo tasu lachem. So make it for yourselves. Lachem udasu aval mosol tzibur patur. So if you make it for the tzibur, then you're exempt. If you could have set up a parallel between Ketoret and Shemen, then make it the other. Ma Shemen Shemepatev Lechetzian Patur. Just like if you make half the recipe that Moshe made, or less than the 12 Lugin, etc., then you're exempt. Ketoret Nami Kimepatev Lechetzian Patur. So it should be the same thing if you make a smaller amount of Ketoret than the 368 Manim. So Rava says, though, that we distinguish, and if you make the Shemik Torah halfway, you're Chayav. So Rava says, the Shemik says, don't make it like it. Only in its exact measures is Asur. The Torah that you make, meaning call Asiyah the Torah, any kind of Asiyah. And after all, after all, we do burn the one half of a daily dose in the morning, one half in the afternoon, so even Chetzin is a meaningful amount. Okay, Tanavar, Shana Mishcha, what is it? More Dror Chamesh Miot. This is all straight out of Parsha Kitisa. This particular herb called More Dror has 500 manet weight. Kidah is another 500. Kimon Besson is another 500. But Kinei Gosen is 250. Tukuran Elif Ushkar Shivam Yom Chamishin. So the whole thing is 1750 maneh of weight. Now, Tanah Minyana Kamashvalan, what the Tanah is just teaching us something with Nihat Matorah. So Tanah Akakashvalan, this is what he was bothered. Ema Kinei Gosen Ki Kimon Gosen. Maybe those two things that have the word Gosen in them are similar. And one of them it says, Machsito Chamishin Matayim, and the other one is Chamishin Matayim. Machsito Chamishin Matayim means half of it is 250, which means it's 500. Ma Kimon Besa Machsito B'Chamishin Matayim, Afemos Machsito B'Chamishin Matayim, and then how will it trade off? And then you'd end up with 2,000, 500 times 4. Then Machinami, why isn't that the case? And Kenneth of Kwa, Kimon Bosem Ukle Bosem Machsito Machsito B'Chamishin Matayim. It should have said, both Kimon Bosem and Kne Bosem are each, half of them is 250. So I'm going to pop it up by. Good. So that's how the Tanakh is coming to clarify what the numbers are. I'm going to pop it up by. So Shokel, the Chreyo Shokel, or Ein Ba'ayinu Shokel. When he weighs out the amounts, and this is really when Moshe weighed out the amounts, you weigh out the Chreya, meaning adding in a little bit, or exact. Amar the Rachmana Katab Bagavad, the Torah said, one piece to opposite another. Yatamar Bechreya, you think that it's an approximation? Rabbi Yehuda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achrot. The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands how Achrot work, meaning that he compensated somehow. Amad Yipo Achreya. Alam Rabbi Yehuda, this is what Rabbi Yehuda said. Kimon Besen Amay Maiti Machsito Chamesh Meyot Chamishim Matayim Bechad Zimna. How come with the Kimon Besen, the Torah said half of it is 250, why do you bring 250, Chamishim Matayim Bechad Zimna, and then another 250 the next time? Kevon Bekulon Chamesh Meyot Tavion. Well, since all things 500, just throw in 500 one time. Why did the Torah say half of it is 250, meaning bring 250, then 250? Shmami Nambi, the Kamaiti Lara Kimon Besim, betrays in the Achreipa, who it shows you that each time you're adding in a little bit extra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodeh Bachot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that into account when he gave Moshe the recipe, and said it's going to be 250 plus whatever little bit you throw in, plus 250 plus whatever you throw in, 500 this, 500 that, and 250 that, with the extras that you throw in, and together it'll be fine. So my bad bevad, what does bad bevad mean? The pasuk, the root part meant exact. Ravina shalayanech mishkal mishkal v'yishkol, to not leave the weight inside the weighing cap thing and weigh, which some people understand means that you got to clean it out very, very well before putting the next stuff in so the weights are proper. And then there's various other interpretations of what that phrase may mean. Okay, tell me about it. Shalom mishkal shalomasur abe mamidbar mishkal kohi karin. The way they would do it is they would put the roots, the herbs in, the roots of these things in, and then they would put the oil in and boil the roots in the oil. Give Rabbi Yehuda. Come Rabbi Yosef. What are you talking about? There's not enough if oil even to rub on the roots. Certainly not to boil the roots in it, because there's only 12 lugin. What would he do? They would boil them in water. And then put the oil on top of it. The kalatat raveach and the oil that would sit on top of the water, of course, would take in the smell and keep cooling, and you lift the oil up. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Yehuda says to Rabbi Yosi, "Uchinetachav nasa b'shavna mishcha. What are you so bothered with? There's only one miracle there. You should have been a sumo with chetolei and so forth. There's many miracles happen. So I told the Rabbi Yehuda that lug. There was only 12 lug. Voim shacham mishkan, the kelav, the aron, uvanav, the mishkan, and all the kelim and aron and his sons were anointed over and over. Kol shivei tamei amiluim. All 7 days of the miluim." And for centuries, Kohanim Golim and kings were anointed. We'll see, not every king. And that Shemin is going to be used. It's going to be for generations. And how do I know that it's 12? Because Zeh, the Gematria, Yudat Lugin. Zeh's Gematria is 12. Okay, Tanarabanan. So let's take a look. If that was your Yudah's comeback. We already mentioned this. So it was 12 lugin that he put in. How much the pot itself soaks up. The herbs themselves soak up some of the oil. Some is evaporated with the fire. As we said. And now we get to the halachot. A Kohen Gadol who takes over for his father, Kohen Gadol, still has to be anointed. But we don't anoint a king who is the son of a king. So why was Shlomo anointed? Because Adoniyahu had you try to usurp the crown. And so David ordered that they announce that Shlomo is the king and anoint him. Great Yehoash, why was Yehoash anointed? Ataliah, because she had grabbed the crown. That wicked mother. Great Yehoahaz, why? At the end of the Melucha. May Yehoyakim Achim, Shai Gadol Yehoahaz, Shai Shanim. Yehoyakim, according to this, was older than Yehoahaz, and nonetheless they anointed Yehoahaz, so he wasn't the Ambi, he wasn't the crown prince. Alright, let's take a look at this. Amma, Afilu Kohen Gadol, and Kohen Gadol, Tom Mashiach, but now on how do we know that Kohen Gadol needs Mashiach, because he's taking over his father, Dichtiv, Kohen Mashiach, Tachtav, Libanav. The Kohen Gadol is called the Kohen HaMashiach, and he takes over from Bnei Aharon. Neim HaKlav Ben Shetachtan Banav, why not to Mashiach? HaKamashan HaFirun Banav, Ahud Mashach HaVikohen Gadol. Only if they anoint him is he a Kohen Gadol. If he don't Mashach, well, HaVikohen Gadol. Okay, I'm a Mar Eim Moshchim Melech Ben Melech. We don't anoint a king after a king, unlike Kohen Gadol. Now, I'm a Lach, Abar Yaakov Dichtiv, Lamaan Yerich Habim HaMamachto, Hu Banav, meaning that he and his son, Jerushahi, it's an inheritance. And the king taking over for his father is simply continuing the line. And Mama switched from also, why was Shlomo anointed? And Machlok and Adoniyahu, that we mentioned. Why do you need to anoint when there's a Machloket? Why can't the king just bequeath it to whoever he wants and say Shlomo will be king, as he said to Natan and Bathsheba? Papa Makra, the care of Israel, because the dynasty left the care of Israel, meaning Shalom Israel, only when there is peace among Israel, when they've all agreed on a king, but when there's a split, they need to anoint to define who it is. Now we add to the three that we had in the Breita, which was Shlomo and Yehoahaz and Yoash, we also add Yehu ben Nimshi. Why was he anointed? Now he's in the north. Yoram ben Achaz. Because Yoram was the proper king, and Yehu was taking over for him. We have another reason he was anointed. He was the beginning of a new dynasty. Beit Omri was out. The answer is there's something more there. Beit David Moshchim, Malchei Yisrael Ein Moshchim. We don't anoint Malchei Yisrael, only Malchei Beit David. So why was Yehu, the king of the north, anointed? Machloket Yoram ben Achav, because there was he was usurping somebody else's throne. So Amamar Machavit Avi Moshchin Ve'en Machay Yisrael Moshchin. Let's go back to that concept. Minalan Dichtiv Kumeshachel Kizehu. When Shmuel was told to anoint David, God said, "Kind of anoint him, because this is the one." Meaning this one, Zeta Mashiach, Necheta Mashiach. Meaning this one and his seed, the other ones in the Mashiach, not others. So only David and on. Amamar Nemachloket Yoram. So let's go back to Yoram. Mishmachloket Yoram Ben Acham Nimam Shem Namishcha. We're going to take Moshe Shem Namishcha and use it for a non-proper, an improper purpose to anoint the northern king. Like what Papa says later, they used persimmon oil. Or they used something that smelled like it, but wasn't the real thing. Same thing here. Okay, yet Yehoachaz. Go back to the Brisa that mentioned Yehoachaz. Since when was Yehoyakim older? V'haktiv uvnei Yoshia. Who were Yoshia's sons? Habachor Yochanan. Shnei Yehoyakim. So you see that that Yehoyakim is not the first. Yochanan hu Yehoachaz Tzidkiyahu Shalom. He says that Tzidkiyah and Shalom and Yehoachaz were all one guy. So Yehoachaz is younger. Eliolam Yehoyakim Kashish. Yehoyakim really was older. My color lay Bechor, but why was Yochanan called the Bechor? She Bechor l'malchut. Really, he was younger. Yochanan evidently is being understood here as Yehoachaz, but he's called Bechor because he's the first one to become the king in the family. But since when are you allowed to anoint a younger son in front of an older son? You see the eldest son is the king. The answer is because in that case Yoram was able to properly fit his father's shoes. Here, Yehoyakim couldn't, so Yehoachaz was then king. So in the text we have Tzidkiyah and Shalom, and he identifies them as the same person. But they're saying first and the second and third and fourth. How can you say third and fourth are the same guy? So why does he call him Shlishi? The answer is Shlishi Lebanim. He's the third son. Why do they call him the fourth? Shlishi Lemalchut. He's the fourth one in the family to become king. So you have Yehoachaz, then Yehoyakim, then Yehoniah, and then Tzidkiyah. Mitzchiva Malach Yehoachaz, and Sof Malach Yehoyakim, and Sof Malach Yehoniah, and Sof, after the Bavlin took over in 597 BCE, they appointed Matanya and changed them to Tzidkiyah. Alright, Tarabanan, who Shalom with Tzidkiyah? How many crushed for Shalom? Why is he called Shalom? Shalom and Masaf, he was perfect. Tavacher Shalom, Shalom Machut Beit David Yamav. This is something opposite. He was the end of the line of Beit David. Why did he call him Tzidkiyah? Nebuchadnezzar made him king and called him Tzidkiyah to say, God is going to take out his justice against you if you rebel against me. That's the illusion of the fact that Nebuchadnezzar made him take an oath that he wouldn't rebel, and he violated it. All right, let's go back to this whole the fact that they anointed Yehoachaz. We have a Shemana Mishcha. There was no Shemana Mishcha at the time. Matan Mishinigraz Aron, Nigraz Nitzenat Haman, Sochit Shemana Mishcha, Makalosh Aron, Shkidim Uprachim. When the Aron is buried, we'll find out when that was, the little container of the man, the container with the Shemana Mishcha, Aaron's staff with the almonds and the flowers on it from the Korach episode, and Agashi group who seemed to own Elohim Shemari, the Koyach Amashar Shemotim Lo Hashem Su Agaz Mitzido, and the cedar chest, the chest that was set, sorry, not cedar, with when the Pesimi turned the Aaron and Shmuel Aleph Perak Vav, all of that was buried at the same time. Umigan Ganaz, who buried it? Umigan Ganazo, Yoshiel Melachu Daganazo, it's Yoshiel, their father. So Yom Melech El Kohanim Tzu Et Aron HaKodesh. Put the Aron HaKodesh away. Ravazor Atya Sham Sham Atya Dorot Dorot Atya Mishperet Mishperet. And all of those other things, the Man and the Shemen and everything else, one of those words connects with the Pasuk that Yoshio commanding that the Aron be put away, so they're all put away. So the answer is on top of Farsam Adachia. The answer is they didn't use real Shemen HaMishcha. They used Farsam Adachia, as we saw earlier, and that's what they used in order to anoint Yehoachaz. How do they anoint the kings? They make it like a crown around his head, a circle around his head. The Kohanim Kemin Chi. And the Kohanim, they make a Kai, which is like an X, the Greek letter. Menashe Kemin Ki Yevani. וכאן התחיל להציג שמן על ראשו, ואחר כך נותן השמן בין יפי עיניו. How do they anoint him? They first pour oil on his head, and then they put it between his eyebrows. Tani achliti v'tchil ha'tem ha'shem ben yishay na'av, v'chakam ha'sik v'asho na'osho, and we have another version, it's the opposite order. Yes, it's tanoi hi, ikal amandam ha'mashich adifa, some people think anointing, putting it on is better, v'ikal amandam ha'yisik adifa, other people think that pouring it on is better. So which goes first? Ma'ikal amandam ha'yisik adifa, why would you say pouring is better? Tani spok v'shem ha'yisha ha'rosh ha'aron, that Moshe, when he anointed Aaron, poured it on his head. If you say that anointing is better, after all, Moshe did not pour oil on the Klei Sharet, he just anointed them. What do you do with the previous Pasuk? The answer is, meaning, he poured it on him, not and then he anointed, but he poured on because he had anointed it. Tana Rabbanan, this beautiful midrash on a very popular parak, like the beautiful oil that comes onto Aaron's beard. Aaron had two little pearls of Shemen HaMishcha that stayed in his beard like jewels. No, when he would talk, they would go bob up and down on the hairs. And Moshe was concerned, maybe there's Me'ila here, because this is Kodesh, and it's going for, what's the secular purpose? So the next pasuk is, it is like the dew on the Hermon. Ma talen bo me'ila, just like dew has no me'ila, there's no me'ila with dew. Av shemen I read all the kan Aaron en bo me'ila. So the oil in Aaron's beard also has no me'ila. Adain I Aaron yadoeg. So Aaron now is now worried. Shema Moshe lo ma'al vani ma'alti. Maybe Moshe didn't want it. Maybe I'm more because I've got it in my beard. Which is how the Mizmor starts. The two brothers are together. Just like your brother wasn't more well, you two brothers are together, you weren't more well either. When we anoint kings, we do it near a spring. As a siman, that their dynasty shall last a long time like the flowing waters. Where do we know that? From Yoram Melech. You take Shlomo, this is when David is dying, he says to go and anoint Shlomo, take him down to Gihon and anoint him there. Shachat Roshan. Amihai, the Gihon spring. So if a person wants to know whether or not he's going to live out the year, take a candle during the 10 days of Yom Kippur, put it in a house with no wind. If you see that it's still lit at the end of that period, then you know you're going to live out the year. If somebody's going to invest in something or do business, he wants to know if it's going to be successful. It's all picking up from the notion of anointing the kings at the spring. Nearby Tanagola, let him raise a chicken. Ishamin Meshafar, if it gets fat and good, then he'll know that he'll be successful. If a guy's going on a trip, if he wants to know he's going to make it back home safely, they'll make him a vase of the Bahata, go into a dark house. If he sees his own shadow, and the shadow of the shadow, then he knows he's got some metaphysical substance and he's going to come home. That last one's not a good idea. Maybe he won't see it. And then he'll get upset, and then as a result, sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, his mazel will go bad and he will get hurt. And this is a very famous piece on Rabbi Hakamat Siman and Milkehi. Now that you're going to tell me that a Siman is meaningful, you should be accustomed to eat, Kara Verubia Karte Silke Vitamri. Kara is like squash, Rubia is leeks, Karte Silke, like beets. And they're all based on the fact that these words in Aramaic sound like words in Hebrew that have positive connotations for us and negative connotations for our enemy. That's the custom of all the simanim that we eat on Rosh Hashanah are all based on that. The apple is, and the honey is a whole different picture. When you go to learn from your Rebbe, first go over your Mishnayot alone, review them, and then go to learn with him. When you're sitting in front of him, look at his mouth. Your eyes will see your master. That's not the the original context, but that's how he's understanding. Chigri situ shmata, and when you review, grusu amaya, review near the water. Just like the water continues for a great distance, so your words should go a great distance. I'd rather be on a garbage dump of our town, rather than a palace of Pumbadita. Better to eat this spoiled kind of fish rather than to eat the finest kutach. Again, one of these sayings. We're going to end this whole sugya with quoting Chana's tefillah, where she says, "My keren, my horn is raised. Why my horn? Rama karni v'lo rama pachi." If you remember the end of that shira mentions Mashiach Hashem. David and Shlomo should be shechuv b'keren. So why did you say that Karen should be raised? Because David and Shlomo were anointed from a horn of oil. They had a long dynasty. Shaul the Yehu, shechuv b'apach, they were both anointed from a vial. Learning shechuv b'achutam, they did not have a long dynasty. And therefore, she says Rama Karni. We'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the sugya mefatem haktoret and the very famous brayta of pitum haktoret in the next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.